I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com.
So I think you got to lock a player like that up. You can't let him leave the building. He's still fresh. And I think keeping him and Josh Allen together, I think that's the future of the offense. You know, you drafted Keon. You know, you got all the puzzles put together right there. And I think he's just still scratching the surface. He's still a young back. And as you look at his numbers, they only on the rise. They steady going up. So for me, when you look at a young player and you get a young talent like that, I think you got no choice but to lock him up for the next few years and give him that comfort of you're here, you're Bill. You know, let's go keep winning.
Buffalo Bills running back James Cook's brother, Dalvin Cook, from earlier this offseason, talking about, well, I mean, he has no rooting interest in this, obviously, but he believes the Bills should lock up James Cook long term. He did mention there that, like, everything's steadily going up. It's not, except for touchdowns.
Right.
I'm not saying anything is, like, precipitously dropped off outside of his yards, you know, his scrimmage yards total, but, like, outside of touchdowns, everything went down.
Yeah, I mean, big plays.
Big plays, yeah.
Explosive plays. That was something that did go up. Yeah, numerically, it doesn't look like there was a lot that actually did increase for him. And I don't know.
To be fair, if he played more of the last game or he also played the Jets game, we're probably having a different conversation. Probably. There is nuance here. Don't get me wrong. Technically, that is not true.
Technically,
that is not
true. I'm not even going to say technically. Statistically, it's not true.
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, which is brought to you, of course, by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We promised at the end of the last segment we'd be going back to the phones, and we will do that here as David is with us next. David, how are we doing this morning?
Doing pretty good, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I've been saying this since the beginning, when this all first started with his brother, where his brother basically stated that he deserves $20 million and this and that. And then Cook went to Twitter about him wanting $15 million. I'm still going to go with exactly what I said in the beginning. I think it is his brother being in his head. Listen, you put up 16 touchdowns last year. Your numbers are on the rise. They are. But at the same exact time, like, you're in a team right now that, in reality, the cap space is very tight because of the players that we have to play. I mean, that we have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So his brother's in his ear saying this and this and that, but he has to understand at the same exact time where his brother's not in the league anymore because of the fact of him asking for more money and more money. And then his brother's going to other teams, and then his performance is decreasing. So that's why his brother's not in there. And it feels like now he's trying to drag his brother down because of the performance that his brother has was possibly better than what he was. So it's hard to basically look at it. So,
yeah, David, thanks for the call. I don't know necessarily if he's dragging him down. I think it's really, you know, to that point, Cook's career ends at 29. It's his final season.
Yeah.
He's 29 years old last year in Dallas. Josh Allen is 29 right now.
And he's got
Cook's career.
Comfortably 6 years. Comfortably.
Yeah. And Cook's career was done. I don't think it's dragging him down. It's to the point that we've been bringing up in the first hour, too, is it's running backs.
You have this
one real chance to get the big deal. Cook does get that. He gets it right towards the start of the 2021 season, I believe it is, and it's a 5-year, $63 million deal, good for $12.6 million per year.
There's a misconception going on about that. that he signs that deal and he just falls off the face
right,
of the
planet. Right, and I played into that a little bit as well.
The thing is that he does have a couple years of production left. It's that his explosiveness is gone. The advanced metrics look at him and go, this is not going to be a good contract anymore. He's losing his big playability. He's losing the explosive ability. And I think it's also because the running back position treats players so harshly in their opening contracts. It becomes remarkably simple. From little league up until the professionals, if you make it there, you are being asked every time ad nauseum, without doubt, run into a pile of humanity and let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of offensive linemen, it is, I may even say possibly more than offensive linemen, it has got to be the most physically taxing position in football because every play you have to get hit.
Every play.
Or you have to hit somebody.
Because even if you don't touch the rock, you're blocking.
Wide receivers?
And you're running into somebody that is bigger than you.
Wide receivers, you can shadow block.
Mm-hmm.
You can block someone without touching them.
Yep. You can run routes and not have that problem. Mm-hmm.
Running backs, sometimes they can run routes. Sometimes they're in pass pro. And you got to hit somebody. It is the most physically demanding skill position without a doubt.
Maybe outside of tight end. But tight end, are they bigger guys usually?
Tight ends are bigger guys too.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are built for that. Some of them have specific roles. Like a blocking or receiving tight end.
Mm-hmm.
A running back, even the speedy scat back. Why do you think LeSean McCoy lasted as long as he did? It's because he learned how to protect himself from hits. And he did it in such a unique way. He's one of the best that there's going to be. He will make the Hall of Fame.
I do hope so. I haven't thought about that in a while. I do hope so.
He will. He's got a ring now, too. Like, mm-hmm. two of them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll make it. All of his accolades, and he's got a couple rings now with it to end his career. He's going to get in.
Yeah.
I don't know about first ballot, but he'll get in. But back to the point. Dalvin Cook signs that deal, and he still has a couple years left of production. And then it all falls off from there. But how often do you hear about it, the running back that he's there and then suddenly he's gone?
Mm-hmm. Todd Gurley is maybe the most famous example of recent memory of he is the engine of that early Sean McVay Rams offense. It's not Jared Goff. The offense really does move through Gurley. It lasts like a year and a half. And then he has knee arthritis, and that's it. I also will bring up, too, with Dalvin Cook and probably why, both, I guess, as a positive and a negative, depending on how you look at it, is pushing his brother James to get the contract. It's a long time ago, but Cook's rookie season was cut short for an ACL tear. He has to come back from it.
Right.
Immediately, his career started off with, this is not good, especially for your position. He does ultimately, 2019, 2020, really increase. The touchdowns are in double digits, what have you. It's 21 where, Derek, you've mentioned the explosive plays drop off, but even just his yards per game. I mean, in 2020, he's averaging 111.2 yards per game. It drops to 89.2. The touchdowns drop from 16 to 6. He drops 400 yards in total, and he only plays one less game. That's where it's a somewhat cautionary tale for teams, is that they gave him such a big contract, and almost immediately, because he does play that 2020 season under the contract, but it's 2020 where immediately the returns don't look as good. That's why I don't think anyone's ever brought up for Cook that it's going to be a five-year deal. No matter what money he gets, it's probably going to be about a three-year deal, like Kyren Williams, just because you can't really risk it. And I'll also say, too, for the running back as well, and this could play into Cook, and I know we've heard from fans as well that have said this, he's not used as much. That you can play into a positive of, he's not on the field as much. He's not asked to pass block. So now he might have more years to give. And so maybe someone like James Cook will look to, I want to get $12 million here for 3 years, but the next contract, when he would be like 27, 28, get two more years, another $12 million per, because he still has legs to him. He has not taken the beating. You see a lot of NFL running backs that would get paid that amount of money do.
And considering, though, that like typically, even with as little or as much of a beating as a player can get, even the healthier running backs, at 30, you're considered an afterthought already.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a cruel position at this point in terms of its evolution and the contracts and how they're negotiated at that point. Not just the contracts, but your draft stock.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's rare to see two running backs even get taken in the first round like this past year.
And before, I mean, well within our lifetimes, too. Like, it was that was the position you needed to take. You needed to have a good running back. You could take him early, and that was fine. When now, Saquon Barkley gets taken, what was he, second or third? He was second. He's taken second, and he's a 2,000-yard rusher. He's going to get in the Hall of Fame just from his Eagle career alone if it goes at least around this way for the next 2-3 years based off of running back shelf life.
But at the time, the Giants, that's not good
considered
business.
A horrendous pick, and he was considered a can't-miss. And he was still considered a bad pick. Bijan Robinson out of Texas, Doak Walker Award winner. And for Atlanta, it was still considered not really a great pick.
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
DeAndre Swift. Or not DeAndre Swift.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Thank you for at least knowing what I was trying to say there when I threw the wrong name out there. But the Lions, they have a two running back system that really predicates both of them being at their best. Because once you hit 30 as a running back in the NFL, they basically think of you as dead. Derrick Henry's the lone exception because I'm still of the mind that I think he was born in a test tube.
Yeah, like 6'3", 230, runs a 4.4. It just doesn't make sense.
No, none of Derrick Henry makes sense doesn't really biologically, make sense. Scientifically. So, of course, he's going to be fine playing into his 30s. And one of the few players that gets a contract in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at it and I think, you said Todd Gurley. I really, really forgot that his career lasted 6 years.
It's a very short career.
Nick Chubb, probably done now.
Yeah,
After his knee injury,
everything around that sounds awful.
He has not been looking good so far in Texans camp. And that would be a 7-year career. And that's what the last two cut short by playing a combined 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand it, and I want Cook to get paid. And I think it is. There's such a hard stance because the Bills, I think, are really of the mind of we can't afford to do this long term.
I mean, Bean has almost outright said it. When he talks about the James Cook extension, he always goes into, you know, you're looking 2-3 years down the road. You know, we pay this guy, but we can't pay 2-3 other guys. And for the Bills, especially at running back, they kind of like to do it by committee. They've done that for years, by the way. It's not just new with Cook. They did it with Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. And Singletary saw much more of the snap count. I think he averaged around 60% with the Bills at the time. Moss ultimately is a miss for them. But now they've got this working, and they've got the offensive line figured out. They don't really want to. And I'll also say this as well. How much of an appetite would a lot of us have to pay James Cook if Keon Coleman had 900 yards and 10 touchdowns last year in his rookie year? I think that's a big part of why some people want the Bills to pay James Cook. Outside of Allen, he's your best weapon. What if Dalton Kincaid? I listened to a little bit of the Bustin' with the Boys podcast. Josh Allen was on. And I listened predominantly to his segment this morning. And he mentioned Kincaid by name and the fact that he missed him for like wide open touchdowns 3 or 4 times. What if that worked? Kincaid doesn't pick up an injury, and their chemistry is better. The connection is better, and he has like 8 touchdowns compared to what he had, like 2 this year. Are we having these same conversations?
Right.
I think not, because that would prove the Bills have at least 1 or 2 high-end skill position players that maybe mean more to the quarterback. Maybe. I don't want to say that definitively, but maybe mean more to the quarterback, where James is good, but I'd rather my quarterback have the ball in his hands throwing it to Keon Coleman or Dalton Kincaid, if either hit. I think the fact that Keon, we never really got a full look into his rookie year, whether it be the injury or what have you. Kincaid, the injury as well. We didn't get the upgrade from year number 1 to year number 2. I think it has made James Cook far more valuable in the minds of many Bills fans. And to be fair, I have also said, I want him here at least this year because he's the only known commodity I have on the offense, really, outside of Josh Allen. But by week 5, that might not be true anymore.
I'm trying to look into like running backs with several thousand-yard seasons and when it starts to go wrong for them. And the answer is typically after you get to 3 or 4 of them in a row.
Yeah, it starts to fall off.
And then I looked at Christian McCaffrey. He's been in the NFL now for 8 years. However, injury has cut short several of his seasons. And he only has 4 seasons where he gets over 1,000 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
but he's banged up a bunch of times.
I mean, to the point,
and that is a player.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Germany last year to figure himself out.
And right now he's like one of the few players that's not injured at San Fran camp.
Mm-hmm.
But how effective is he?
Yeah, we don't really know.
We don't know.
McCaffrey you're getting anymore.
Is he done at this point? At age 29?
Yep. It's getting to that point already. Now, it's funny with McCaffrey, too, because he's a lot like the girly in the sense. And now, young guy as well, Jahmyr Gibbs, you're looking a lot at the total yards per scrimmage. He's also had some absurd years where he's over 2,000 yards from scrimmage, you know, double-digit touchdowns, what have you. And that's also a part of it for me. You know, Cook really should be the yards per scrimmage guy. And he's not at the top end for that. He's just, what did he have, 1,200 last year? Is that what I said?
Mm-hmm.
From yards from scrimmage? Almost 1,300. His second year actually pointed to he's a yards from, and he should be getting towards like 1,800 in the following year. Instead, he drops off by 300. He gains more touchdowns. Don't get me wrong. There is a positive there. But when I look at other young guys, most notably for me at least, we've already mentioned him in terms of that a shocking draft pick, Jahmyr Gibbs. In year two, he has 250 rushing attempts. Compared to James Cook's 207, he has 400 more yards rushing. He has 16 touchdowns. He has 1,900 yards from scrimmage and 20 touchdowns.
And I think that is the difference, though, between a first-round talent and a second.
In which you traded back towards the end of the second
round. Yes. And then there's Derrick Henry. Because I just started looking at running backs that have been relevant through the recent scope of years. Henry has...
But I for
his
me,
first 2 years, he doesn't get to 1,000 yards mm-hmm. of total scrimmage yards. Then he never looks back. And there's only 1 year that he doesn't get to 1,000 rushing yards after this so far. Mm-hmm. And that's in eight games when he has 937 yards. The dude is like
he's
when I
inevitable.
Say test tube baby, it is the compliment of all compliments. I don't understand how he does it. And because I still don't know how to understand it, because it's not like Henry's a receiving back at all.
No, he's a
total. It is all on the ground.
He's a total
he led the league.
Back, yeah.
He's led the league four times in carries.
Mm-hmm.
And he had another 325 this past year. I don't know. How do you do this? But even back in the day, okay, like when we're younger, running backs and in fantasy, it was, I do believe it was a Michael Turner that really came to light on like when you should start avoiding running backs. It was called the curse of 370 touches.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start avoiding a back, because the next year they're probably going to be broken down. Because again, when you're touching the football, you are being asked to go into a pile of humanity.
Now you do wonder though, with Cook, last year was 239. The year prior was 281. He's not getting up there. And that's where I think he could use that in a negotiation. I look at it more as the negative. He's not on the field enough.
That's the thing.
But other teams can look at
positive.
And go, there's something there.
There's something there.
Mm-hmm.
I could have. And that's why free agency is really going to be important for him. I think he gets the contract he wants. It's just not going to be here. I think it's the Bills understanding they can't pay what you want, but somebody will.
Yeah, somebody's going to do it.
Somebody might do it. It's just not going to be us. And it has to do more with we don't have room.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Kind of threw it up on Twitter here. The Holden appears to maybe be over. And why do you believe that James Cook?
I love how uncertain you sounded on that.
Why do you think James Cook went back to practice? Let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Tom has an idea that is very similar to a tweet we read earlier, and it's, I think he sustained a mild injury where normally he would still practice, but with his contract situation, he chose quote-unquote business, which has been something that Cook has said multiple times. He likes his money. He stands on business, which was code for him not risking anything until he gets a deal done or the season starts. That's been a big thing for me, too, the season starts. I have never thought Cook was going to miss meaningful games. We know how I feel about preseason games. It simply does not matter to me.
Right.
If Allen plays on Sunday or he doesn't, it doesn't change anything for me. The only thing that will change is if he does play, I will wait impatiently for him to leave the field.
I do love the variance of the comments underneath the tweet today, though.
Because no one knows. There's a fun way to go about it because no one knows.
No one knows, and again, it's fun to theorize, like I'd mentioned at the start of the show. But to get world champ bandits tweeting and he's bored and misses his friends.
It's totally understandable.
That's a guys being dudes tweet, and I love it.
He just wants to get out there with the guys. he misses the boys. And we've all been there. I totally understand that.
Corey tweets, and he must have seen the rough cut of this week's episode, Gotta Save Face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh man, I'm going to be looked at and painted as a villain. I don't want that. I want a contract from another team. I'm back. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
It is funny, though, like because he did return to practice today, there has been no news yet on if there's a contract or anything like that. I think practice
has wrapped up. And I doubt there will be.
And I doubt there will be. You do wonder, though, what Hard Knocks will look like tonight. Especially, we've all seen episode one. It painted the Bills in a really colorful light. It was overly positive. And I think many of us enjoyed it. I did it. I did in spades.
And the neutral fan is going to say, this is boring.
This is boring. But with Cook now being back at practice today, are they going to play that up a ton? Is this going to be the James Cook-centric episode? I know I'll be a little surprised if they get him to sit down and talk about this at length. I'll be very surprised. He's not Matt Milano levels of, like, if they got him to sit down for an interview, they've solved world peace. It's not going to be that. But it would be quite surprising if they got Cook to sit down and really talk about this in length. I could see his agent talking if they really got him to sit down for it. But I said it with Sal when he joined us earlier today. I just don't totally see this ending yet.
And that's the thing. When you said it, like you read it, you sounded so uncertain about it just now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because everything about this has taken turns that we have not expected. I heard the agitation in Sean McDermott's voice on Saturday, and I thought, oh, this is going to get worse before it gets better. But I know that in my heart of hearts, he's not going to miss the regular season. I was on down the road with our sister station in Rochester, 95.7 The Fan in Rochester, yesterday. And they asked, when is this gonna leak over into the season? No. Yeah. I still believe that. Absolutely not. He would not cost himself actual game checks at that point. And if you miss week one, are you going to really get the lion's share of the carries coming back? No, you're going to get broken into live action slower, and that's going to cost you more money. That is the other part of it. No, this is not going to – we know that there's a finite deadline, really.
Yeah.
And again, if not, fire the agent because then you're getting terrible advice.
Yeah, especially as a running back, if you get to the point where you're missing games on what would be – a year before free agency.
That's terrible advice if you're getting that. And fire the agent if he's giving that to you because he's doing you a misservice.
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. And this is WGR.